All righty, friends. Greg Kokel here. And our second installment of Stand to Reason this week. Thank you for being a part of what we're doing. You know that every year, those of you who have been listening for a while, of course, know that every year I have a grand time, usually around August sometime, hanging out with my buddy Frank Turek in Charlotte or Southern California or Dallas, Texas, doing CIA, the Cross-Examined Instructor Academy. And I think we've been doing that for about 10 years or so. I got Frank on the line right now. How long have we been doing this, Frank?
Greg, we have completed our 10th year, year is going to be our 11th in August in Dallas. And the reason we're doing it in Dallas this year is because in August is because hell was booked. So we couldn't get anything else. It's in the center of the country, and we had it there last year, as you
we
know,
did.
And it's a wonderful, wonderful church where you've done Rethink.
Yes.
So we're having it there to be right in the center of the country. It's August 16th to the 18th. It's going to be our 11th annual. You've been a part of every one of them because you're the first guy I thought of when I thought about doing CIA,
man.
And you're integral to that, as you know, and as the entire team knows. So thanks for being a part of it so long.
Frank, you know, it's like this is 10 years. I mean, time flies when you're having a good time. I have had so much fun these last 10 years working with you. And as the years have gone on, we have had different people moving in and out and making special appearances to these things. And now we've got this cadre with Brett, of course, Brett Kunkel and J. Warner Wallace. And I mean, it is, and a whole bunch of other. We have such a good time. And part of the reason I have such a great time is because we are working with a relatively small group of people. We're not in a big gallery. We're not speaking to thousands or even hundreds. We are working with people of like mind that have kindred spirit, that have a commitment to making a difference in the kingdom. They have trafficked a bit in apologetics. They have done some public presentations, and we're there to tune them up a bit, to give them some ideas about how they can improve their presentation and their footprint, in social media, etc. And I think what you have done over the years in developing that and refining that that basic CIA program has been phenomenal. And when we got together last August in Dallas, we had the best group of people we've ever had, and they were really sharp and really on top of things. And it just gets better every year, not only in terms of the presentations, but in terms of the quality of people that you have been attracting to Cross-Examine Instructor Academy.
Well, I think probably more of the people come because they listen to Stand to Reason, Greg, to be honest with you. So that's one reason we're talking right now. And people have been following you a long time and the entire Stand to Reason team. Mm-hmm. So they enjoy coming out and learning from you. And just to be clear, the people that are listening right now, this is really a hands-on class where not only we present to you, but you present to us.
That's right.
And we try and refine and help you better advance your ability to defend the faith. And there are two essential books that you need to get. Of course, Tactics, that Greg has written, and I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist, that I wrote with Dr. Norman Geister. Those are kind of our two core texts.
That's right.
And there are other books as well, but those are the main ones that we try and help people teach from. And now this year, we're not just doing CIA in Dallas in August. We're doing advanced CIA in a couple of months here in Charlotte in May. And that's largely for CIA graduates and people who are much further down the road in apologetics. And we really want to help people advance their ministry to the next level. And that's going to be a much smaller group even, Greg. We're going to have maybe 30-ish there rather than the 60 or 70 we have at our traditional CIA. But people better jump on that quickly because the deadline for for applying is March 15th, and we're almost full already for advanced CIA. So people have to get on that very quickly.
Well, this is why I wanted to get you on the air here and chat with you a little bit. And actually, you gave me the heads up. You dropped me a note and said, hey, this is coming up. I said, oh, that's right. Let's chat about it. So I'm glad you're on. We always have you on talking about this because I think you're right. A lot of folks will come to CIA because of our tribe, basically. And we've got solid people, and many of our listeners are people that are stepping out, giving presentations, maybe in small groups, maybe their college group or their Bible study or something, but they're starting to stretch out and begin to make a difference. And we want to continue to encourage them. So if they've been to CIA before, and after 10 years, how many graduates do we have?
Oh, we're up around 400 now. And it's a mix of men and women, mostly men. And this year, we really want to attract more ladies because it's very critical that I think ladies get involved in apologetics. And so this year, as one of our instructors, we're having Natasha Crane.
Wow.
Whom you've had on your program.
Right. She's fabulous.
Yeah.
I really like Natasha. I'm really thrilled for what she's doing. I think she was one of the presenters a couple of weeks ago when BIOLA had their Women's Apologetics Conference. But she is making a huge impact. And you know what's great about Natasha is she just looked at where she was and what she had to offer. She got some education in apologetics, and she said, basically, I'm a mom. And so I'm going to speak to other moms about how they can help their kids defend the faith. And so what she did is she identified what she could do, and she began to develop that. And, boy, God has really used that effort as she stepped out. And she's also a graduate of CIA, right?
She came to the California edition that we had there a couple of years ago in Costa Mesa. And now she's going to be one of our instructors at both advanced CIA and traditional CIA. And advanced CIA, again, is this May, but you got to sign up or apply in the next 2 weeks. And then traditional CIA is in August. And I think the deadline for that is June 15th.
Yeah.
So all this they can see at our website, crossexamined.org.
Yeah. Crossexamined with a D.org. And, of course, Frank will be there as an instructor. I'll be there. Jay Warner Wallace will. Bobby Conway, Natasha Crane, Jorge will be there as well. I mean, this is a great, solid team that will help you cultivate your own skills. Now, if you're not a graduate of CIA for this advanced CIA, can people still apply if they've got some experience?
If they have some experience, yeah. We want people that have a significant amount of experience that just want to take it to the next level. We're looking largely for CIA grads. We realize there may be some people out there that maybe they already are pretty far down the road in apologetics, and they really want to advance their ministry. And one of the things we're trying to do, Greg, in addition to try and help people develop a speaking ministry, whether or not they're going to give up their day job, we want to help them with branding and marketing, how to write and promote blogs, how to turn their blog into a book. In fact, we're going to have a representative, an acquisitions editor from David C. Cook there at Advanced CIA.
Uh-huh.
And he'll present to the group and show people what publishers are looking for. And he'll even meet with people individually to see if they have the kind of idea that a publisher is looking for. So we've got a lot going on. We've got a lot going on in social media. That's where Jorge Gill, who's our social media director, is so good.
And he's great at that, too.
He's going to be there to help people. So we really got quite a team to help people move their ministry further down the road and impact more people for Christ. And as you know, this is more important than ever now, Greg.
That's right. You know, we started out really focusing on the speaking presentation stuff 10 years ago, and now as we see the importance of expanding the, in a sense, social media footprint, the different ways that we can impact, we realize that there's something we can offer in those areas as well. And this isn't my strength, but we got other people on the team that are going to help with that. So if you're interested in being part of Advanced CIA, that's May 3rd through 5th, okay, inclusive. So you got to travel before and after, and you guys take care of your own travel and your housing and stuff. And there's details about how to set that up on the website. But we've got those 3 days that we're going to spend together. We're going to work with you, and the deadline is March 15th. So go to crossexamined.org. Did I get that right? Yeah, crossexamined.org. Yeah. Nowadays it's .org, .com, you know, people are mixing it up like crazy. But crossexamined.org will give you the details not only about the May 3rd through 5th advanced CIA, but August 16th through 18th and the standard CIA. So regardless of what category you're in, we want you to think about being a part of what we're doing. And, Frank, I'm just thrilled to be able to. We had to do this two times a year now, at least this year. So that doubles my pleasure, you know. I'm looking forward to hanging with you on those days in Dallas. Actually, this is going to be in Charlotte. The May 3rd through 5th will be in Charlotte.
Yeah, that's right.
And then
that'll
Dallas in August, right.
Hey, let me ask you something. I don't know about you, but when I go out on the road and speak at a college or a church or something, I have more people coming up to me, Greg, and I want to ask you what your experience is. I have more people coming up to me saying, I see you online, like YouTube or Facebook, much more than TV or radio. Do you find the same?
Well, you're on TV and you're on radio and you're online. I'm on radio but I'm not on TV anymore. So,
All right.
I think, you know what? I don't know how to answer that. I mean, I don't have a sense of that. You guys are working very hard to maximize your online, like YouTube presence and stuff like that. We're doing a lot of that too. But I don't have a sense of that. What I get feedback mostly on, and I owe a big thanks to you and Jay Warner and, because you guys are always promoting Tactus, you know, and so consequently, you know, people are picking up the book and they're reading it and they're learning how to engage. And so then they tell me, hey, you know, Turek and Wallace and Adams, you know, they all recommended the book here and we got it and we're learning from it. So I do get a lot of feedback on the Tactics book.
I recommend it everywhere I go. I was just in Seattle recommending the book and every college campus, I always recommend Tactics because it's such a great book. And now of course the Story of Reality, which is a great overview book as well as to what reality is all about and what Christianity is all about, and how it makes a lot of sense. So we're always recommending those books. But the reason I bring up the question about how people hear about you, this is more for our listeners. You don't have to have a TV program. You don't have to have a radio program. Mm-hmm. If you can maximize your efforts via social media, mm-hmm. whether it's YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, whatever it is, people will see what you're doing, and you'll be able to impact people that way. So mm-hmm. I guess I'm saying times have changed even since we started CIA, mm-hmm. and that's why we're doing a lot more work in helping you improve your footprint via social media.
Right. Well, you know what? There are I don't traffic in that kind of stuff that much personally. I'm not a social media person, but I do know my daughter, for example, my 13-year-old, there's a couple of guys that she loves. There's more than a couple, but they're really funny. And these are personality. I can't even tell you their names. But they're personalities that were born online in social media. In other words, they started there and they had an explosion of interest. And there are lots of people like that. And I see them. And what does this girl do? She talks about fashion. She said, here's the clothes I'm wearing today, you know. And I think, what? She's got a gazillion followers, you know. So if they can do it with silly stuff like that, the rank and file Christian now, has more of an opportunity to have a huge impact, regardless if they got a publisher or not, or they got a radio show or not. What the internet has done is it's been a populist kind of movement that gives everyone an opportunity to be a player at some level. And if you play in a useful way, people are going to find out about you and your influence is going to explode.
That's right. That's right. And we'll spend a lot of time on that in advanced CIA for those of you that can come. And we will spend some time on it in our standard CIA, our traditional CIA. Again, advanced CIA May and standard CIA in August. But you better apply soon because we're going to cap these classes, Greg. I thought last year we had a great group, but it was a little too large for our ability to serve. And so despite the fact that we're adding Natasha Crane, we're probably going to cap it somewhere in the 60 area rather than 70 like
right,
last year.
Right. So the Advanced CIA coming up May 3rd through 5th in Charlotte and March 15th, that's about 2 weeks from now, a little more than 2 weeks, is the deadline. And if you have not gone to a CIA in the past, but you think, you know, you've got some experience in apologetics and speaking, go to the website, check it out. And if you want to come by, just apply. And then Frank will take a look at it and let you know whether this is for you or not. Also, keep in mind for everybody else, August 16th through 18th, that's our standard lower entry level CIA for those interested to make a bigger impact. Thank you so much for 10 years of including me in this enterprise, Frank. And I've enjoyed the friendship, the fellowship, hanging out with the boys and hanging out with the great people that we've had a chance to train over the last decade.
Well, thanks for being a part of it and being the real highlight of the program, Greg, because everybody loves hearing from you. Mm-hmm. And more often, I think what the people really value more than anything is they like interacting informally the instructors, like over lunch, over dinner, because we eat a lot of meals together, and they just enjoy that.
That's right. Well, we will see you in May. I don't know if I'm scheduled to be with you for anything else between now and then, but if not, I'm really looking forward to hanging out with you, Frank.
Well, thanks, brother. And we're keeping Melinda in our prayers.
Oh,
and of course,
my goodness gracious.
As well, because I know you guys are trying to replace somebody who's irreplaceable, at least temporarily anyway.
Yeah, and an update just went out on Melinda. So those of you can go to our social media outlets, my Facebook, Stand to Reason's Facebook, et cetera, to get those details. But thanks so much for that thought, too, and we'll be praying for her as well. See you in a few months, Frank, and thanks for your friendship and all you're doing for the kingdom.
Thanks, brother. Same to you.
All right.
Talk to you soon.
Okay, will do. Frank Turek, and the URL is crossexamined.org, May 3rd through 5th for the advanced CIA. March 15th is the deadline, and August 16th through 18th for the regular CIA, and that deadline's down the line somewhat. All right, let's take a break and back with more after this on Stand to Reason.
Without realizing it, our students are being shaped by the ideas around them. News, social media, movies, friends, and teachers are all shaping how they think about the world. And what they believe about the world will determine how they live in the world. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about this year's Rethink Apologetics Student Conference. Our theme this year is all about worldview. When students come to Rethink, they will get equipped. No topic is off limits, so bring your questions and press in for answers. They will engage top speakers. We've invited some of the brightest Christian minds to interact with them on tough topics, and they will enjoy themselves. Whether you're a believer or a skeptic or somewhere in between, we guarantee that they're going to have fun. So join us in Dallas at Cottonwood Creek Church on March 2nd and 3rd, and in Alabama at Briarwood Presbyterian Church on April 20th and 21st. It's time to rethink how we see the world.
Would you like to know the one unifying theme of the entire Bible? Greg Kokel reveals it to you in The Bible Fast Forward, his sweeping 8-lesson series on DVD. Greg demonstrates, from Genesis to Revelation, that the Bible represents one cohesive plan of salvation. This fascinating tour of Scripture shows you how the events, covenants, and promises of the Old Testament come to their perfect focus and fulfillment in Jesus Christ. This masterful survey of God's redemptive plan is available to you on DVD or on demand via HD streaming or download. It also includes a comprehensive 145-page study outline with questions for reflection or group discussion. To order the Bible Fast Forward, visit STR's online store at store.str.org or call 800-2-REASON today.
All right, a couple of things to update you on. Let's see. I'm going to check the date here, okay, make sure we're right about these things. Of course, this weekend, March 2nd and 3rd, Cottonwood Creek Church, Dallas, Rethink. We are so jazzed about this. Just about ready to climb on a plane myself and head out there. I'll be speaking at University of Texas in Arlington, I think, with the Ratio Christi there, doing some training and tactics. That's Friday afternoon. Then we got our events on Friday night. And then all day Saturday with Rethink, and then I'll be speaking You know, I've got to find that. I don't have the. Well, wait a minute. Don't I have announcements here somewhere? I do, but I got so much paper. I'll find it. But I'm also speaking at a local church in the area. Where is it? There it is, Lakeside Church of Christ in Mansfield, Texas. I'll be talking about evil, suffering, and the goodness of God and the Columbo tactic. So one during the services, that's the evil one, and Columbo, I think, early afternoon. That'll be Sunday, March 4th. So I hope you can participate in that. I'm going to be in Bonneville, Alberta. Now, I was in Minneapolis last weekend. We had about 8 inches of snow. Winter Wonderland. Now I'm going to Alberta. They probably got more than that. And I'll tell you one thing, it's going to be a lot colder than the 28 degrees that I had in Minneapolis. Bonneville Baptist Church in Bonneville, that's Bonnyville, Alberta in Canada. And you can go to BonnevilleBaptist.com for details. And let's see, of course, Advanced CIA, I mentioned coming up in three on May 3rd through 5th. Okay. I wanted to just give you a very quick update on Melinda. I saw her this morning, and we just put out an update on our social media, so you can find that on my Facebook. You can find it on Stand to Reason's Facebook. Amy also put it out in a blog. So that's all available there if you want the update. But in a certain sense, there's not a lot to talk about just because Melinda's progress has been so slow. I see her every week. I drive 2 hours today. It took me 2.5 hours to get there, and South Orange County. And then I visit with her about half hour to 40 minutes, and we talk, or I talk, and I bring her up to date on stuff and tell her about my family, and I read the word to her, and I pray with her and tell her I love her, and then head to work. And most of the time, she doesn't respond. She's awake much of the time. Sometimes she'll nod off a little bit, she'll look around the room a little bit. But occasionally, if I asked her, you know, do you know me and can you hear me? Sometimes she'll nod and say, nod yes, like very slightly, but yes, she responds. Today she didn't respond at all. Other times when others are there, she responds a little bit better, you know. Apparently she she's got a TV now, and she was trying to manage the controls with one hand. So she can respond to some commands, and she can do a little bit manually, but it's hard. So it's been about 3 months since the accident on December 2nd, and all I can say is to keep praying. Our God is a great God. We don't know what His plans are. I do know Melinda well enough to know that she is as fully surrendered to God's purpose in her life as anyone that I know. And if you read the update, you'll see a statement from her, or a couple of paragraphs from her advanced directive, where she is sharing her own convictions about end-of-life issues like she's facing, although she's not at the end of her life, but some people do end their lives de facto by surrendering to handicap and allowing doctors to take their life by withholding not medical treatment but care. And food and water and air are not medical treatment because everyone needs those three things to survive. That's care. That is, you give those things to people who cannot provide it for themselves because of their handicap, and so you care for people who are valuable. And Melinda talks about that a bit in her advanced directive, and I include a portion of that in the update. So I suggest that you go to our website, to either STR's Facebook or my Facebook, to get the details. And then I have that portion there of what she wrote 12 years ago. regarding the circumstance that she finds herself in right now. She's an encouragement to all of us, and we continue to be aware of how powerfully she has influenced our life when she was actively involved in our lives. And now that she's inactive, she's still having an influence, and it's maybe it'll be an encouragement to you as well. Now, on another note, I have a new book in my hand that's not really a new book. It's kind of a funny thing because sometimes when you write a book, you can take a portion of that book and republish it under a different title because it focuses in on something that you wrote about in another piece that is a portion of that other piece. Well, that's what I did with The Story of Reality. And I was thinking, you know, when Easter comes around, which it's coming up, and it's good to have a smaller treatment of things like the cross or the resurrection. And J. Warner Wallace has done this with one of his books and the subheading, the title that is a portion of another book is simply called Alive. And that's where he talks, takes the resurrection material of one book and puts it in a booklet. And Lee Strobel has done this with The Case for Christmas, for example, or The Case for the Resurrection or something like that. He's taken something else he's written, made a smaller book. Well, I did that with The Story of Reality, but I just focused in on the cross and the resurrection. And the title of this booklet, which is adapted. Here's what it says in the back. Concisely adapted from the best-selling book, The Story of Reality. The title of this is The Story of Why God Died and Came to Life Again. The Story of Why God Died and Came to Life Again. I actually really like that title, if I do say so myself. I think it will capture people's attention, and it tells the story of why God died. And by the way, in order for God to die, he has to become a man first. And so we're talking here about the incarnation. I'm talking about the life of Jesus. I'm talking about the death of Jesus and the reason for the death of Jesus. I talk about the resurrection and the reason that we have good confidence it took place in history. And then I talk about trust, which is the word I use to describe what people usually describe as faith. The Bible uses that term faith, but it really means, I mean, it's English word faith. The Greek is pisteo, but what it means is act of trust. And so I describe in this exactly what that entails. So that's all here in this little booklet. It's a smaller footprint. It's like 88 pages long. It's you could probably read it in an hour. And one of the reasons I like this treatment, if you don't mind me talking about it here, since it does have my name on it, is I like that book, The Story of Reality. I like it a lot. But I think the middle part is the best, the middle towards the end, all the stuff about the cross. And here it is. This is like a surgical strike just dealing with that information. So it represents a smaller work that you can hand to just about anybody, and they can read it quickly and really get a very clear picture of the gospel and why they should take the gospel seriously. All right? So I'm just recommending it to you. You may want to think about grabbing it. $3.99 is the asking price. I think you can get a bargain at Stand to Reason. And not sure if it's up on the bookstore. Yeah, it is. Okay, so it is available now. And don't even know what our price point is, but if you get 5 or 10 or more, which I recommend, frankly, so that you can give them to people you're talking to about Christ, and sometimes sometimes just giving something to somebody, say, maybe you take a look at this, and when you're done reading it, we'll chat a little bit about it. This is easier than trying to do all the talking about all the important points yourself. And it's more relaxed because when somebody's talking with you, there is a little tendency, if they don't initially share your point of view, to be a little bit on the defensive, okay? So they may have their guard up a little bit, but they don't have the guard up when they're reading a book because you're not there. Okay? They can be more, in a certain sense, neutral and open-minded, maybe even, when they're looking at a booklet and reading that. So I'm just going to commend that to you, Why God Died and Came to Life Again. I wanted to tell you about a conversation I had. I mentioned I was in Minneapolis last weekend, and went to dinner and had a short conversation with a waiter. Now, these kind of conversations generally are going to be short because a waiter's got a job to do. But I was actually a little surprised to hear what I did from him. Now, people will sometimes ask me, how do you get in these conversations? And my answer is I just keep my ears open, and I ask a lot of questions. And in this particular case, though, it was the waiter who brought the issue up because he had overheard us talking about God and Christianity, me and my host in that case, picked me up from the airport. And we were having a wonderful conversation together and engaging things. A sharp guy, I've been teaching the Bible for over 30 years, and a big stand to reason person, been hanging on with us for quite a while. And so we were knocking things back and forth quite a bit. And, of course, I always bow my head to give thanks whenever I am whenever I'm in a restaurant. And I've told you in the past why I do this. I do this to want to say thanks to God. That's the first reason. I do it also in a way that's visible, partly to demonstrate to others that I'm not afraid to say thanks to God and in front of other people in a public situation. And the third thing is that I do that in order to hopefully have a salutary effect on other people. Like that might encourage other Christians to do the same, or it might be an occasion for, say, a waiter to ask me about something spiritual. So these kinds of things do happen. And in this case, in light of all that was going on at our table regarding God, since that's mostly all we talked about there, and the waiter coming back and forth was aware of it, he made a comment that related to this, and that kind of introduced spiritual things into our conversation. And so I asked him if he was a Christian or a follower of Christ, and he says, well, he was raised a Christian, but now he's moved past that. Okay, so I asked him what he meant by that. Now notice, this is my game plan. What do you mean by that? And he said, well, you know, Christianity is people do things on Sunday, but a lot of times the rest of the week they aren't involved in that. And so now he's moved beyond Christianity or beyond that practice. So I asked him, do you mean that you're, instead of just being a follower of Jesus on Sunday, you're now a follower of Jesus 7 days a week, right? Now, I suspected that wasn't what he meant, but I was just going to give him the benefit of the doubt and be positive, whatever. And he said, no, I've actually moved beyond Jesus. Now I'm into Jesus consciousness. So now I realize from the language I'm dealing with a New Ager, which, and I think New Age is a bit difficult to deal with, because it's hard to pin those guys down. They're kind of all over the map a bit. Maybe you've noticed this if you've talked to some. But he said very quickly that, of course, you know, he said, that Jesus spent a big portion of his life in India. You know, he grew up in Nazareth until he was 12, but there's that missing years, those 18 missing years between the time he was 12 and the time he was 30, okay? These are the so-called missing years. Now, I'm just letting you know that there's no missing years, because the only historical record that we have of the life of Jesus says that he remained in subjection to his parents, and he grew with wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. So we know where he was those 18 years. He was in Nazareth. And there was nothing significant that happened in those times. He had a fairly ordinary life. It wasn't until he started his ministry on the heels of the announcement of John the Baptist that things began to happen. And he did his first miracle, his first sign there at the wedding at Cana, etc. And so that's the launch. The rest of the time was relatively quiet. But there is this claim by New Agers that Jesus, traveled to India. And I have heard this many times, but I have not heard it recently. Okay. I was a bit surprised that this story was still in circulation. And the reason I'm a bit surprised is because there is not a shred of evidence for such a thing. Now, I could have said there's not a shred of evidence for such a thing, and it's also implausible because India is a long way from Jerusalem, even northern India. I just checked it out today. It's 5,000 kilometers, 3,200 miles. Okay? And why would a Jewish lad walk 3,200 miles? I think I figured it out today. I did the math. If you walk 8 hours a day. By the way, I know it's this long from Jerusalem to Delhi because you can actually Google it. And you could get the distance from Jerusalem to Delhi, and then you could push the little walking guy, and you'll find out how long it takes to walk. And it turns out it takes over 1,000 hours, which if you walk 8 hours a day, 7 days a week, in a little bit more than 4 months, you could get there. But who's going to walk 8 hours a day? I mean, that's a long trip. And by the way, that's what it would take if you walked now on the routes available now. Who knows what routes were available then? I mean, do you see the point I'm making? This is a bit implausible. And not only do you have that long distance, but then you've got food, water, you got that you have to have, bandits along. I mean, this just is not plausible to think that a 12-year-old is going to make this trip. Why would he? Why would he go to India? Anyway, our waiter believed he did. So he makes a statement. So what do you think that I'm going to do in response? I'm going to ask a question, which is what I did. So I asked a question about the distance. Do you know how far it is? Now, I didn't do the Google thing at the time, but now I do know. 5,000 kilometers, 3,200 miles, or whatever it is. It's a lot. And I said, do you think a young lad is going to walk all the way to India? Now, that's a fair question, right? And he said, well, they had roads, which is true, but that doesn't seem to improve the circumstances. You still got to walk, right? Because there's no ocean. By the way, that's the math from, well, there is an ocean. You could take that route around Africa, but, you know, that's not going to happen. Not 2,000 years ago. And so he'd have to walk, and that's the distance just to Delhi, which is in the north. Okay, so I'm just, best case scenario, not plausible. So I asked him that question. And I asked him, my second Columbo question, how'd you come to that conclusion? My variation was, what makes you think that actually took place? Do you have any historical writings that indicate this? Now, he stumbled along. Okay, let's just put it that way. I'm trying to think of the most charitable way I can to characterize it. He just kind of stumbled along about Jesus making this trip when he was, why would he make this trip? How can he make the trip? How do we know he made the trip? These are all fair questions, and they're not answerable. That is that there's no historical evidence. There's no good reason why a God-fearing, Torah-observant Jewish lad would go to a pagan culture, and there's absolutely no evidence that when Jesus did start his ministry that he was teaching Hinduism. He wasn't. He was teaching the law. He was faithful to the true message of the law. And so consequently, there is no good reason to believe this. Now, I told him a couple of times as we're chatting back and forth, I'm mostly just asking questions. And he's attempting to give answers. And he got off the track a couple of times. He started talking about Buddha. And I said, well, I'm not talking about Buddha. Buddha also went to India. I said, I know. Well, I'm not talking about Buddha. And so I had to keep bringing him back to the Jesus thing, because every time I asked a hard question, he changed the subject. I had to bring him back. But I'm doing so in a friendly way. And then, a couple of times I said, I realize you got other work. You're welcome to go if you'd like to. He hung on there a little while, and then he said he had to get back to his job, which I completely understand. So that's the way these conversations go some way, sometimes, and you know what I was trying to accomplish. What was I trying to accomplish? I was trying to put a stone in his shoe. That's it, just to get him thinking. Now, did I? I don't know. That was probably the only time this side of heaven that I'll ever see him, and maybe I won't see him there. God knows, I don't. What was I doing? I was doing a little gardening. I was doing my job in the opportunity that was given to me, and then I entrusted this person to the Lord, because he is my task for that brief moment, 4 or 5 minutes of our conversation at the table, and he is God's problem. He is my task, but he is God's problem. I could just leave it and then trust God will use whatever I tried according to what he wants to do, and I'm out of there. It's all right. Now, what did I do after that? Well, he's still running around doing his job. I didn't beat him up anymore about spiritual things, but I was nice to him, and I left him a good tip. I actually left him more than 20%. And I said goodbye to him at the end. I shook his hand. I thanked him. And I just wanted to leave behind a fragrant aroma. That's what you do as a good ambassador. And then results, that's up to God. Not my problem. All right. Let's take a quick break, and I'll come back to your calls after this.
It's hard to keep in mind all the facts and arguments you need to address tough topics. That's why STR has developed a series of quick reference guides on same-sex marriage, abortion, and tactics to help refresh your memory and encourage dialogue. These guides give you concise answers, all on a single 8.5 by 11 inch laminated card. They're a quick and easy way to gain useful knowledge about some of the most important issues facing Christians today. With these tools at your side to guide your thoughts and aid your memory, you'll engage critics with full confidence. You'll be fully equipped to answer objections with grace and clarity. Get your quick reference guides today by visiting the STR store at store.str.org or calling 800-2-REASON.
You know, since 1990, I have taken all kinds of questions and challenges from callers from all over the world, and I would like to hear from you, too. Now, you may have a question or a challenge on ethics, values, or religion that you want to discuss with me live in the show, but I know it can be hard to find time in your schedule to call and wait online. So we've come up with a convenient solution. Here it is. Click the banner at str.org that says, Question for Greg, Ask Now. And fill out the form on the website, and if your question is chosen, we'll give you a call between 4 and 6 p.m. Pacific time on Tuesday during the live show, and we'll make sure you get a chance to talk with me. We'll make an appointment with you in advance. Click the banner on the homepage or visit str.org/training/broadcast and simply fill out the online form today, and then we'll talk.
Hi, I'm Alan Schliemann. If you have the opportunity to start a conversation with a non-Christian about apologetics or the gospel, which should you choose? Find out my answer in this month's episode of my podcast, Thinking Out Loud. Look for it on iTunes or the top of the homepage at str.org.
All righty, friends. Final segment of this hour, and just a reminder, this weekend, Rethink in Dallas, Cottonwood Creek Church, March 2nd and 3rd, still time to go. if you're in the Dallas area, or even if you're not, you can still drive and go. And last count, we were pretty close to 1,200 people. That's more. That's about double what we've had in the past, and that's pre-signups. So there's going to be more people at the door. We are praying as a staff, and Tim Barnett was praying for 1,700. He's got more faith than I do, but we're going to have a fabulous group there. Jay Warner Wallace will be there, Walter Strickland, Christopher Yuan, John Stone Street, Amy Hall, me, Alan, Tim. Drew Warsham, the illusionist, is going to be back. He was in Orange County. Unbelievable stuff. Just unbelievable. So I hope you can make it. It's going to be a grand time. All right, let's go to David in, is it Coulterville, Tennessee? David?
Collierville.
Okay, you got it. Welcome back. I understand we've talked before.
We did, yeah. We talked, I guess, a couple months ago. And I had called in to ask, we had had some Mormon missionaries visiting our home, and I'd asked for some advice on kind of where to take some conversations. You'd given me some advice about asking about chariots, references in the Book of Mormon.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Some things like that. So you invited me to give an update, and I wanted to do that, but also things have kind of progressed, and I've kind of got another question. So
sure. So you continued your conversations with them is what you're saying, right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. We've actually had weekly meetings with them for, I don't know, about 8 to 10 meetings.
Wow. So, wow. That's great. But I'm curious because what I'd said is there, and I just learned this not too long ago myself, in the Book of Mormon, it talks about horse-drawn chariots, and there were no horses at that time in North America, and there were no wheels at that time in North America. So how do they make sense of that? And what did they say to you in response?
Well, they really didn't have an answer for that. They kind of said, well, I don't know.
Okay.
Let me get back to you later.
Okay, well, really good. Well, you gave them something to think about, all right. But you've got something else to deal with now, right?
Well, so after meeting with them, like I mentioned, a number of weeks, they finally came to the point of saying, you know, unless you're really wanting to pursue Mormonism, we're not really, we think maybe it might be best if we just not continue meeting week in and week out.
Uh-huh.
And we said, we understand that. We totally understand. That's
sure.
Fine.
Of course.
Even, you know, we even kind of wanted to leave the door open to perhaps getting together just in a friendly manner because we've gotten to know them.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, turns out they had told us that some of these questions we've been asking them, when they didn't know that they were forwarding them on to their mission president,
mm-hmm.
Who's kind of over this geographical area and all the missionaries here. Well, it turns out last week their mission president was in town and actually had asked about us because of all the questions that had been forwarded to him.
Sure.
So they came back and they brought their mission president, and we had an hour-long time with the mission president in our home. And it was kind of interesting because he made, I thought, a great analogy. He said, you know, when you learn your sums in mathematics, you don't immediately jump to calculus. You have to kind of work up to it.
Right.
So he said, I want to make an apologetic, or he didn't use that term, but he said, I want to kind of make a case for some of the basics of Mormonism before we start getting into details. And so it was actually, I thought, good for him in the sense of very good tactics for him. He used only the Bible, didn't touch the Book of Mormon, and made a case for a lot of things, such as the fact he just came right out that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, there are three separate gods. He talked about the whole spirit children thing. Anyway, it laid out a whole bunch of stuff, and I thought actually, with a lot of verses out of context, could seem on the surface kind of compelling. But he wants to meet again in a few weeks when he's back in town again. And my thought was, okay, I think the next thing for me to do is just to ask, all right, so you've offered another interpretation of these scriptures. Now, using the second Columbo question, why should I believe that, or what is your evidence for that interpretation over the standard interpretation? But this guy was obviously way more prepared, way more versed, way more experienced compared to the Mormon missionaries
that we've
been dealing with. And so I was curious. I really realized I need to kind of be way more on my game on this one. I wondered if you had any additional advice for this. Kind of gone to a new level.
Sure. Well, of course, a lot of it. Thank you for calling about this. This is really great. I'm glad you got back to me. And the answer of how to pursue this depends entirely on the specifics of the way he's arguing from the Bible. But I will give you something general. I mean, it's easy to say, one could say, let's put it this way, well, you're taking that out of context, and he may very well be doing that, but just saying that, he could say the same thing back to you, blah, 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 and then it's a counter charge. Right. You have your interpretation, I have my interpretation. Okay, now, I don't know if you heard the show where I was talking about Sean McDowell's debate with...
I was actually listening to that this morning on my way to work, and I was thinking about this when you were talking about that.
Notice how during... with the name escapes me now. Who was it?
Matthew Vines.
Matthew Vines, thank you. So when they were talking about homosexuality, and Matthew at one point said, well, you have a different interpretation than I do on that verse. And when they say this, it's almost like, well, see, it's kind of a jump ball. And therefore, you know, you take yours, I take mine, and we're even. But then Sean wasn't willing to leave it there. Sean said, well, wait a minute, not so fast. You tell me where I have gone wrong in understanding Jesus' remarks. Okay, now what he was forcing Matthew to do, which Matthew did not follow up on, because Sean wasn't wrong on his view, he was stating obviously and clearly what Jesus was stating, okay? What Sean was doing is he's saying, do you take me back to the words of the text in light of the flow of thought? Now, so here's a phrase you may want to use instead of in the context. Of course, it means the same thing, but I think this will be more helpful. You go back to the flow of thought, and you say, show me in the flow of thought, what is the line of reasoning that is being developed here that supports your take on the text rather than mine? Tell me specifically where I've gone wrong in this passage. I can tell you specifically, I think, where you are mistaken in this. You tell me why my understanding, given the flow of thought, is not accurate, but yours is. Now, I'm just giving you the general paradigm of response. It may not be in any given individual verse that you'll be able to do that. Maybe you don't know how to deal with that passage, but some of it you will be. Able to do that, okay? Like, for example, their famous passage out of James, you know, pray for wisdom, okay? So what is going on? And that's where they pray and they get the burning of the bosom, and that's how they know whether the Book of Mormon is from God. Is that what James had in mind? What is James talking about in this passage, Mr. Mormon elder, whatever? What is he talking about? Well, he's talking about trials, okay? So he's saying when you're in the midst of trials and you don't know how to deal with the trials, he's telling you to pray for wisdom how to deal with the trials, right? Yes. Okay, that's my view. Right. So you're using this to decide whether a book is inspired by God or not. Does James talk about that anywhere in this passage? No, he doesn't. Then why are you using it that way? Wisdom isn't the same as giving you an answer. Wisdom is how you deal with a problem. It isn't, yes, this is the Book of Mormon, the Word of God. That's not wisdom. That isn't what wisdom is. You see what I'm saying? So, I mean, this is how I would kind of prosecute that a little bit. My general approach is to go back to the text in question and then ask for a characterization of the flow of thought within which the proof text is embedded. And so you justify your understanding of the text, the individual text, based on the flow of thought. That's the never read a Bible verse principle. And so this would be my advice to you, whatever passage it is that's in question that he brings up, looking at the larger thing and asking questions about the flow of thought, to be able to then affirm one interpretation and disqualify a different interpretation. Otherwise, if you don't do that, you're just stuck. Well, I have my interpretation, you have your interpretation, and it kind of feels a little bit like it's a jump ball. And that's why Sean, I thought, was so brilliant by continuing to drag Matthew back to the context and say, explain to me how I got this wrong. And I think you could do the same thing with the Mormon, I suspect.
Yeah, that's good.
Does that make sense to you?
It does. It does. I know some of it, I think, is going to be more nuanced, especially him arguing for tritheism as opposed to the Trinity. He kind of mischaracterized the Trinity, and because I mean, that takes a lot of scriptures into account to kind of, I mean, the Trinity is not very clearly laid out. God chose not to do it that way, but we have clear understanding as we take it
right.
all into account.
Yeah.
And so.
Okay, so and maybe I'll quickly, I've got 60 seconds here. Here's my strategy with the Trinity. There are three things the Bible seems to teach clearly. Okay, first it teaches there is only one true God. Let me put it that way. There are so-called gods, but there's only one real God, one. Okay, and that's Isaiah 6:4, whatever, the Shema, and lots of places, monotheism. Okay. Secondly, the Father and the Son and the Spirit are separate persons, or you can call it centers of consciousness. We know this because they talk to each other, for example. So they're separate persons. However, each one is divine, is God, and we know this because they are called God. They exercise divine prerogatives. That is, like they receive worship, or they do the things that only God does, that is, create everything that was ever created, like John 1:1-3. So that there's my little strategy there. So what is the doctrine that makes sense of those three Bible truths? You can't say three gods because the Bible teaches there's one God. You can't say one God and only one person because it teaches three persons that are all equally God. The only way of understanding the scripture is the Trinity, what we understand to be the Trinity, one God in three persons, three centers of consciousness, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's why I say that the doctrine of the Trinity is a solution, not a problem. Okay? You'll find some stuff on the website about that. Hey, I got to run here, David. Thank you so much. Get back with me in a couple of months after your further conversations. I'd like to see how things go, and I'd like to hear how they went. And there are some strategies in play that you could use in your conversations. And we'll see what God does. Thanks for the call. Okay, friends, thank you for being part of our show. And always love engaging these issues with you. I'm Greg Kokel for Stand to Reason. Give them heaven this week. Bye-bye.